welcome into Shock and Ship. Shock, we don't have any more football to talk about for like, what, a few weeks till the spring game, till G-Day, I guess. I mean, what are we going to do?
Sad, man. I was talking to my lookout about that. We watching the Super Bowl. I was like, you know, this is going to be the last time we got football for a while. He's like, really?
God, that's some great parenting shit there, Shock. You know, something really terrible is going to happen. Okay, good night.
Oh, I got to tell y'all what happened with my lookout while we were watching the Super Bowl. So, I was a reporter, and this guy loves the Chiefs. Like, Tyreek Hill jersey, signed, all that kind of stuff. Mm. Anytime the Chiefs play, he wears his jersey, sits right in front of the TV, doesn't move. So I said, all right, man, big time Super Bowl. We're going to do a pregame. We're going to do a halftime. We're going to do a postgame interview. And I put this on my – it was on my Instagram story. So we get before the game, pregame, I'm like, all right, Trey, what's going to happen? Who's going to win? He's excited. He's happy. He's like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs going to win, blah, blah, blah. They're going to score 38. It's going to be 38-21, whatever. He gave him the score. He's hype. Halftime comes up. He's sitting next to me, and he's like this. He's really, really somber. I'm like, all right, Trey, it's halftime. What are the halftime adjustments? He's like, Daddy, leave me alone. Leave me alone. So I said, okay, well, we'll see you again.
So quit asking.
We'll see you again after the game. Of course, Chiefs lose. And I said, all right, you ready for your post-game interview? He walks upstairs and just goes to bed. Wow. So then I go wake him up and I say, listen, son, you have to do this post-game. I'm not doing it. I said, okay, fine. I'm going to treat you like the NFL. So I went in this piggy bank, and he got fined. He got fined money for not doing his post-game interview for me. So he's a little lighter.
When you don't want to answer the question, you just say, I don't know. I got to look at the film.
So
I got to see the film.
We got to study the tape.
That's the number one thing people go to. That's what the coaches go to. I got to see the film.
It's too early for me to do. What about the guy that jumped offside 78 times? I still got to look at the tape.
Let's watch the film.
I got news for you. The tape says he's terrible.
You get a couple of days later. Well, now, coach, you've had a chance to look at the tape. What did you see? Well, we're on to the next opponent.
It's a cycle.
They're not better than us. We just didn't execute.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. We should come up with the top 20 cliche.
I thought we did that already.
We did that with we did that with the guy from Austin. That was actually broadcast. That was like, was that broadcaster?
Oh, yeah. That cliches? Was broadcaster. You're right. That was broadcasters.
Yeah. It's a good sign that we've had enough shows now, though, to where we're forgetting what we've talked about. That's great news.
Hey, so I was in Sean Chappis's office today because we were talking about something, and he was like, "Yeah, I was listening to. I'm only halfway through it. I haven't listened to the whole thing part." I'm like, "Holy cow! People do actually listen to this podcast."
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, I get the downloads every week, but it's still surprising when I come across one in the wild.
My man, our man Alan texted me today talking about Seymour, said he listened to the podcast and I should be in the Hall of Fame. So, it surprised me too.
So did we now jinx Richard Seymour? Did we now jinx him?
God.
He's never going to come on with us again.
No.
That was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I was looking forward to when it came out. I saw no.
I was bummed for him.
Yeah.
And bum for us, because it kind of ruins our credibility, whatever credibility we have.
I was going to say, don't you have to have something before it gets ruined first?
Yeah. We're in credibility debt at this point. But no, it was a great game. And, Brady.
It was a great game.
I guess he must be a Bucs fan. That's obviously.
No,
if it's a great game, it had to be a Bucs fan.
No, saying.
It was tough to watch.
I figured it was real hard for both teams to get in a rhythm with the way the officials called the first half. I didn't care who won. I didn't care one way or the other. Yeah. But it was not, in my mind, it was not an entertaining game to watch.
Yeah.
Just as a neutral party.
Mm-hmm. I think because it was so hyped up. I mean, it was major hype.
Yeah.
Andy Goat versus, you know.
Well, it reminded me a little bit of like the way the Super Bowl used to be about 10 years ago. Remember how everybody would get hyped and then it would be a blowout and nobody would care. And then I want to say the Titans Rams kind of that was close, and then it was the 2001 they won on a field goal, and then it seemed like it got a lot of momentum. It would be in real tight, good games.
Yeah.
And now I felt like it kind of went off the cliff again.
Yeah, even through that Patriots dynasty, there weren't many blowouts. I don't know if there were really any.
I think that the Seattle one that was in New York, wasn't that a blowout?
Oh, that's, yeah, when they beat the Broncos.
Yeah, that one was a blowout.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of the halftime show?
As long as you come out of that with a meme or a GIF that people are going to refer to for years, I think it's a hit. And I thought the performance was good, but even more important, The Weeknd has staying power now because everyone's using that.
Internet legend.
Where he's like caught in the maze or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen so many memes off that little maze.
So I'm not I know like two of his songs, right? Okay, I thought it was a good show.
Yeah,
I thought it was a pretty good show. I think
he's an entertainer.
Here's where it hurt. He's not. He doesn't have, like, if you named 20 people that said, I think those guys should do the, or this guy or this girl should do the Super Bowl halftime, I don't think he's in that list of 20 people.
Yeah, he's a little different. He's kind of a different cat, you know, like Bruno Mars a few years ago. Like,
yeah, but you know what?
He's an entertainer that, like, everyone's like,
I was blown away by Bruno Mars. I didn't know anything about Bruno Mars till I saw him, and I was like, you know, the jaw was on the ground.
But I think The Weeknd is just as entertaining.
I think it's the energy, too, though.
Yeah.
The energy that, like, Bruno brought was up here. So you're like, you're watching it, like, what's going to happen next? The Weeknd was kind of – it was good music, but it was, like, just
– it was an interesting show, too. It was an interesting show with
– I liked The Weeknd, though. It was cool.
I liked it. I liked it. I just – it wasn't like – you know, I think, like, when I think Super Bowl acts, I think, like, Prince, Springsteen – The Rolling Stone, the Beyonce, Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
This one seemed like it was just down a level. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't that same kind of. And I, from what I understand, people, you know, my source was close to the league. It was hard to get people to sign up this year.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't doubt it one bit.
But everything going on.
Yeah.
You got people for that.
What'd you guys eat? You guys fire anything up? Have some good
eats. So without going into too much detail, I had a medical procedure the next day.
What?
So
are you okay?
I'm fine. Just part of getting older. And
do we need to come give you a hug, bro?
No. But so you know what I had for a Super Bowl? I had some Powerade. I had some chicken broth, and I had some popsicles.
Okay.
That was my Super Bowl.
So I thought you were saying that you had a medical procedure because of what you ate.
Preparing
because I should have.
So you were getting clean. There we go.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I got it. Been there, done that. Yep. Know all about it.
Yep. So I chose poorly, and when I was given a chance to pick my appointment, I should have picked a different day.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
I had some good nacho dips, had some wings, you know. So I
wings.
Some wings, man. Some wings. Wes, how about you, man?
Yeah, I did some dry rub ribs and made buffalo chicken dip. And then I proceeded to scald the roof of my mouth because I couldn't wait for the buffalo chicken dip to cool down.
Buffalo chicken dip is like the sneaky MVP. I feel like you can eat that for like 5 days afterwards.
Had some today.
It's pretty good.
And you know, it's slowly killing you, but you're like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
it's
nothing
fantastic.
Good about it. But I felt like death the next morning. I woke up at like I'm not lying, man. I had so much salt that day. I woke up at 4:30 a.m. and I thought that I was like a balloon. I just rolled off the couch, man. It was miserable. But
I was like that after the Eagles won. And I was stone cold sober, I'll add. Wow. But I woke up like 4 o'clock in the morning, like, and I wanted somebody to kill me. I felt terrible.
Speaking of people being just crushed, did you see Brady? You know, they had the
was he drunk? Or was he?
Oh, you mean the stuff that came out today, Wednesday? Yes. Oh yeah. Now he had hit that. That is 100% Tampa, smashed. Florida day drinking on a boat.
Okay.
Smashed him. All right. And then how about, I guess when you win 7 Lombardi trophies, you could just throw them from boat to boat. I mean, you don't worry about if it's,
if that had fallen, if that had fallen in the water, I would still be laughing. I would have never stopped yeah. laughing.
That thing's sinking. It is aerodynamic and it is going straight down. I mean,
and then I want to see, and then a pay-per-view, I want to see Gronk dive in and fight a manatee to get it back.
All you got to do is say, I bet you won't do it, Gronk, and he is in.
Yeah.
Gronk would have spiked that thing off a manatee's head, man. He wouldn't have slowed down.
Gronk, I bet you $14 you won't go get that. Boom, he's in.
14? What? Be out of there. Out of there. Crazy.
Guys,
Brady,
I'm kind of
disappointed.
I'm disappointed. Well, that was the thing. I saw an alternate angle of him getting off the boat, and he looked normal. And someone was trying to say that he was just like he couldn't get his sea legs. And I was like, nah, that guy looks like he had a few pops.
All right.
And I saw.
I want to know who said that. I want to know who said that.
Some reporter that probably wanted to like maintain.
Was it Jim Gray? Was it Jim Gray?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Because that sounds like something Jim Gray would say.
Bro, listen, if I had the chance to win 7 Lombardi trophies, I wouldn't care about what you said about my leg when I got off a boat. Here's the thing. If I'm Brady, you should be carrying me. Because that's how smashed I should be after winning my 7th. Who gonna say something to Brady after winning 7 Super Bowl, bro? Who gonna tell him he can't be smashed? Come on,
I want him to piggyback ride on Gronk's shoulders.
I'm sure they do that in their free time anyway. That's just how they get around. The funniest thing I saw though, someone said Brady finally had a strawberry because he doesn't eat fruit, he doesn't eat vegetables or anything.
It's oh like, no, really?
He had his strawberry and now he's just tanked.
But the strawberry took him off.
just knocked
sugar,
him.
Sugar high.
Knocked him off.
I wonder if Tom Brady's ever had candy corn.
He probably don't like it either.
Before he met Giselle, man, he looked like sugar, he was into the candy corn. He was into all of it.
You seen the picture of him at the combine without the shirt on?
Yeah.
He had a 22-year-old dad bod.
Yep.
And he's, I can say that because I'm 52 years old.
That dude spent like $1 million on his body, bro.
How do you spend
on each hair follicle?
Yeah, so there's the question. If you spend $1 million on your – what the Weeknd said he spent $7 million on that show of his own money. I'm shocked that the Weeknd had $7 million.
Right.
Secondly, what did he spend it on?
Well, they had only 97 people on the field when he was doing that other stuff.
So you give each of them 100. So you give each of them $100, and guess what? Yeah, they look like jock straps. I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was
like underwear or something.
I think it's from his album.
It was like weird. It was like Weird Science.
Yeah, it's from his album where he's like he's got your head all wrapped up.
Apocalyptic.
There was.
Scared you a little bit?
I wasn't scared. I was just like
a little creaked out.
Yeah.
I've
seen his act where he looks like he's got plastic surgery or whatever, and
yeah, I want to know what the folks in Coffee Town would have made of that halftime show.
Oh,
could have been the halftime of the Coffee Town.
Would have flipped the channel.
I ain't partaking in that.
I'll listen to the music. Sounds fine, but I ain't watching that. That's that looks sinister.
Sinister. Told you was creeped out.
All right. Who had the rougher week, guys? The lawyer with the cat filter in the Zoom call. Has everyone seen this?
I've seen it, but Shock, I've not clicked on it because I don't like cats.
The what now? What?
So you got to look this up. There is a lawyer in Texas and he's in a Zoom proceeding and
with like a judge
and he's like about to state the case for his client. All right. And I guess his daughter or child, granddaughter, grandson, whoever had used his Zoom and had the cat filter on and it makes you look like a cat.
No.
And he comes into this official meeting
what the
Cavs. And he's just distraught. And he's distraught. And the guy, he can't get it off. And the guy's saying, well, Mr. Ponton, it looks like you've got the cat filter activated on your face. And you just hear the lawyer go, I'm trying to get it off. My assistant can't get it off for me. At one point, okay, he goes,
so I didn't know this was
a I'm thing. Here live. I'm not a cat. All right. So back on track. Who had a worse week? That lawyer or the guys that were discovered on the deserted island? Mike, you
so, told us. So yes. I was watching. I follow a lot of weird Twitter things. Not weird Twitter things, but different. I'm kind of into the military and stuff. So I follow a couple of people.
I can't take this serious right now.
You may take the glasses off. All right, hold on.
No, I'm just joking. I'm joking.
All right. So I follow a lot of people that like track airplanes. You know, because you know, coaching recruiting season, they got a jet taking off from this airport. It's got so. And it was from the, I saw a tweet from the Coast Guard and they said, we're investigating a report of some people stranded on an island in the Caribbean. Mm. Then there's a shot out of the back of a C-130 and they say, we're actively dropping food and water to these people. What? Lo and behold, today a story comes out. These people have been stranded on an island in the Caribbean, an uninhabited island, for 30 days.
No way.
And how they live.
However they have been, they have been existing on coconuts. Is it conch or conch?
Conch.
Conch shell. Conch. Conch. Uh-huh. And wait for it. Rats. That's good eating right there, boys.
So they drop in water. Why in the world they just didn't go get them?
Well, they did. They did eventually go back and get them, but it was just they had to drop
some
them.
Water.
Here's some water. Some water. See you in a couple of months.
They'll be back later, bro.
What? They were just trying to get them, you know, give them a little something, something before they came and picked them up.
How did they find out that they were there? Like, how did
I guess they'd been missing or their boat had been missing and somebody reported them as lost and they were the Coast Guard was doing flyovers and I don't know, maybe they did some Tom Hanks spilled out help on the beach or something.
Wow, 30 days.
That's 30 days. 30 days. They still think Patrick Mahomes is good.
They don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
That was a cheap shot.
Who won the Super Bowl? Yeah. Man, I gotta read up on that. Yep. Well, it sounds like they got more help than the attorney did, though. So I'm going to go with
Yeah.
Never underestimate good IT support, man.
No.
Do you guys think you could survive for 30 days on a
not on rats?
Not on rats.
I don't think I would go there. But
I went to private school. I wouldn't survive 30 minutes.
God, that's crazy. But yeah. I wouldn't do that for a long time.
Well, they couldn't catch. I guess they couldn't catch any fish. They didn't find a way to catch any fish.
They found. They caught the shells. I guess you got to go in and get the shells. And then I don't know if they cooked them or I don't know. I didn't get so far into read if they like were able to make a fire or something. But that's nasty.
I sure hope so.
Real life
survival. Raw rat, not just rat. Yeah. Raw rat.
My gosh.
Have a good meal, everybody.
They got to get checked. And don't tell us.
Yeah. Please enjoy your lunch and enjoy our conversation.
Sorry about the raps.
No Sean Moreno coming up after the break. Shock and Chip is back after this.
That's what I'm putting on the episode description. Sorry about the rats.
I'm like, what?
That'll get them. That's the hook. Welcome back into Shock and Chip. No Sean Moreno. Is it Marino or Moreno? Can you like settle that? That's like one of those pronunciation things that
you gotta roll the tongue, though, really, if you really want to pronounce it right in Spanish, you know what I mean? Moreno, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Go ahead and do that, Wes. We're all waiting here while you do that, Wes.
Oh, you mean the ethnicity?
Well, that's how I've been saying it. I've been saying Moreno.
Moreno.
And no one else believed me.
Nah, but, you know, Moreno. You know,
cool.
Let that thing roll on out, Wes. Let it roll out. Roll
anyways,
Wes, let's hear you roll it out one time.
You just heard it. No Sean Moreno.
Okay. He's see how you did it?
Yeah. Anyways, however you say it, you know who he is. Welcome in, Noshon. Thanks for joining us this evening. Super excited to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you guys having me, man. It's awesome.
Noshon. Out in Denver, man. Out in Denver. Whoa.
Denver.
I think Noshon is our farthest geographical guest so far. Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So there you go. We've made it into the mountain time zone.
Now you're talking. Now you're enjoying something.
Yeah, you can see it's dark where we at. It's all light and bright where he is. So
yeah, I was gonna face it the other way, but that sunset was gonna kill the vibe there. It was gonna kill it. I couldn't do that, so I was like, Noshon,
what you been up to, man? I love to hear what guys got going on as far as during the quarantine. Everybody been having their different situations and stuff. How you and the family been doing, and what's been new lately for you?
Yeah, man, we've been blessed. You know, I mean, we haven't had anyone come down with, you know, the virus or anything, so we've been blessed on that aspect. And, man, just spent a lot of time with my daughter, you know what I mean, because they've been out of school and stuff like that, especially in the beginning of everything. But, yeah, just spend time with them, you know, with her. And, I mean, off that kind of topic, my personal, I mean, like in real estate, I've been doing that lately. Been doing that for a couple of years now, 2 years now. I mean, last year was kind of tough with everything going down, but this year we're hitting it, you know, full speed. My wife and I, and she's a realtor out here in Denver as well. And, you know, kind of just moving along with that. I mean, I really wanted to get down to a Georgia game, but couldn't do that, right? So, I mean, hopefully this year, you know, it's a little bit different. I can get down to a game and kind of get back to, you know, things being kind of normal a little bit, but we'll see, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old's your daughter? How old are your kids, and how are you dealing with school, man? Any tips, any survival tips for the parents out there listening to the show?
Nah, she's 8 years old. I mean, the parents know it's tough, especially, I mean, with my job, it's kind of, I was fortunate, I mean, because I can work from home, you know, I mean, real estate, you kind of work from home and go to a listing or a showing if I have to. But I mean, some parents, you know, you can't, it wasn't that fortunate. So, I mean, it's kind of tougher on different people, right? But I mean, just make it work for what you can. Just make it work. We did it. You know, I mean, the kids, I mean, my daughter's better at Zoom than I am. I don't even know where to go.
You know, she's like, you're the guy putting the cat filter on your face, aren't you?
Exactly. You know, so she's better at the Zoom thing now. So they've been doing that, but right now they're actually back in school, so it was just really cool. I mean, it's good for the kids to get back, and just get back to some things being normal. But other than that, we kind of roll with the punches. We got a big trampoline in the back.
There you go.
That made things a little bit easier, you know.
So you got you're at altitude too, so they get a little, they bounce a little higher than they do at sea level.
How she like the cold weather? I mean, you said it was 27. I mean, she cooled on the trampoline at 27.
When we got the trampoline, it was snow on the ground, right? I had to shovel out some of the snow to make some room for the trampoline. He put it down. The guy built it. He left, and she was right out there on top on it right after that. So yeah, she don't care about no cold weather. I mean, none of the kids do. Did you really care about cold weather when you was a kid?
Not really.
You know what I'm saying?
Didn't live in it often enough growing up in Georgia. So it's like a couple days a year, and then you roll through it.
This ain't Jersey down here.
That's true.
Man.
I'm not thinking Jersey.
You're a cold guy.
I'm thinking Jersey, yeah. That's true.
Bro, speaking of Jersey, I always wanted to know. I mean, obviously, Georgia has been known for going all over the country to get top-tier backs like yourself. And when, you know, I had been gone, I heard we got this dude from Jersey. I was like, how did Georgia get a dude from Jersey? Explain to the people how you got to the University of Georgia from Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to find you, right? It don't matter where you go. They're going to find you, right? But, I mean, I think what kind of made it easy, right before, I mean, I got to Georgia, I think, before my senior year in high school, Cade Weston. Do you remember Cade Weston?
Yeah, big Cade,
Big Cade. So he's from Jersey, too. He right down the block from my school. You know what I mean? Cross-town rivals. So he kind of paved that path because they came for Cade first, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, dope. You know, Cade, you know, doing this thing. And then, you know, I was right after that. And it was cool to have another Jersey guy. I mean, I knew Cade, you know what I mean? He was one of my boys in high school. So, I mean, having that connection.
But what
as well,
sold you on Georgia? Because you could have went anywhere. What sold you on the Dogs?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he was there, right? So I was like, oh, okay, this could be dope. But nah, what really sold me, I mean, was just the atmosphere. It was just the people. You know, I mean, the people down there was just totally different than New Jersey. You know,
South, so, baby, yeah.
It's the South, man. I've never been down there like that before, right? So I was like, I could see myself here. I could see myself here even if I didn't play ball. You know what I mean? That's why I was thinking of that because my grandma always wanted me to, you know, she was like, yeah, get your education, get your degree, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, all right, I got to think about more than just football, you know? So, yeah. I mean, I went to a couple other schools. I mean, I went to Florida and visit them, and that wasn't the vibe. I just wasn't feeling it, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, the coaches were awesome. You know, Coach Rick and the staff, man, some really good people. You know what I mean? I really felt like they were good people. And Kirby was actually the running back coach when he recruited me. So Kirby was a good dude, man. I mean, he played spades. You know how they do. I was beating down the spades. Don't let them tell you different. You know what I'm saying? But I think all that together, you know what I mean? And I mean, at the end of the day, it was great. It's a great school. So that's what really sold me for sure.
I think we want to know what's Kirby like when he's recruiting you. What's that like?
See, yeah, hungry Kirby, like not.
Yeah, that was hungry Kirby, right? See, I'm not sure how he was as a coach, you know what I mean? Because he didn't get the chance to coach me. He left right when I got there, you know what I'm saying? Went to Alabama. But I mean, him as a person, he was a cool dude. I mean, I bet the guys right now can kind of, you know what I mean, they have that good feel with him. You know what I mean? He's a player's coach. You can tell that, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, he used to play. So you got to respect the man, you know what I mean? You got to respect him. He played for Georgia and all that stuff. So, I mean, when he was recruiting me, I vibed with him. I vibed with him a lot. So that was another reason why.
See, that's crazy because I that was my last year where he was the running backs coach.
Yeah.
And I remember I told
you like guys ships about in the night, man.
I used to go in and I used to always do the install for the running back. So I was in there installing for TB and Danny, all the boys. So Herb was like, man, I ain't used to this offensive stuff, man. I need you to come teach me something. So I used to go down there and teach him. And then you came in and
he gone. That boy took off. Yeah, the rest of history, he done took off on us. I was like, wait a minute. He ain't coaching here no more? I mean, this is crazy. But you know what? Coach Ball, man. Coach Ball was a great coach, too. You know what I mean? He's a great coach. You know what I'm saying? He did a great job with us. I mean, going from the receivers, came to the backs. You know what I mean? I mean, he did a great job with us, man. We had some good dudes, too, in there. For sure. Like you were saying, Danny, TB, Lump. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sutherland. All the boys. Great.
Yeah.
All the Craig.
That boy's crazy.
I did a story on Lumpkin when I was still in local news, and he's like a firefighter. And it's he's a firefighter now, man. And it's bro, wild.
Lump like 250 now.
Nah, stop. Man, stop
but it's like, he like bro. 250 solid though.
Solid. big guy.
What?
He's strong.
Yeah. You know what? You should hit him up, dude. He's like fighting fires and stuff. It's crazy.
Bro, that's crazy. That's dope though. That's really cool.
Check his IG out. It's like Coop the Loop or something like that. Coop the Loop 6.
Bro, that's crazy. You know, I'm gonna have to check that for real. I mean, you gotta think Lump was big anyway, though. He was about 220-230 when he was playing. So I mean, of course he'd be kind of big still. I mean, especially if you keep it in his shape. I ain't as big as I was. I ain't that big still.
You get it done, though.
Mm-hmm. What's he doing? TB with the backs. Yep, he's still doing the league thing.
He out there in the Rams. Yeah, he out there with the Rams, man. Doing good out there.
He's still working out.
Yeah, TB still.
Yeah, he stayed in shape.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Little TB, bro.
Hey, no, this is what I want to know, bro. I remember I had just left and I had been going. I'm with the Falcons, so I'm right up the street. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I, you know, still got watching the Dogs and I remember it was your freshman year, sophomore year, one of them years. I just remember every time you ran the rock and every time you got tackled, you would sprint back to the freaking huddle.
Somebody's hand.
It's like, what's up with dude? Dude is all the way amped up. What was that about? Because, I mean, I went back and saw you were a sprinter and high jumper or jumper in track, right?
Yeah.
Long jump, triple jump.
Yep.
And I remember the jump you had versus Arizona State, the one versus Central Michigan. I mean, you had some. Well, you were jumping over dudes, but what was it? What was it about that made you, after every time you got it, you was popping back up and you was running off, and fans would go crazy when you did.
That's probably what it was.
Not to cut you off. Yeah. I was going to ask about this too. So just to save us all some time of repeating questions, but how much of your walk-on year kind of lent itself to that attitude too?
Dang, you know what? You made it.
Not walk on. Redshirt.
I understand. That's a great point.
He called you walk on.
Can't get past
Freudian slip. I heard what you called me. Dude, I was there when you were there. I know you were a walk on. Trust me.
No shot. It's all right, bro. I'm glad they gave you a scholarship, bro. It's good. Yeah,
whatever, bro. You earned it.
Bro. It was a combination of all that. You brought up a big point, Wes. I mean, it could have been a little bit of just that fire. It definitely was a fire, man. I was just so excited and so happy to be out there, man, and ready to compete at any time with anything, right? So, I mean, just being out there and like what Shock said, I'm talking about the fans being hyped. Of course, that's going to feed into a little bit of excitement. I ain't want to be down there, bro. Who wants to be down there in that pile with them boys? No one wants to be down there. Let me get back to the huddle and get back to another 20 yards, another 15 yards, another 10. Let's get another touchdown. That's how I felt. You know,
so you watch these guys play now, and they go hurry up, no huddle. Is that a little bit of you like, oh man, I wish I could play in this system. This is my kind of system.
Yeah, we played in that. I mean, playing with Peyton. I mean, we played in the hurry up system.
That's true. Yeah, I guess so.
So, yeah, I mean, I was kind of used to that. But, I mean, as far as just always jumping up that quick, it was just more excitement, man. I was ready to go, man. Hey, next play, let's do it again. And we're going to keep on coming towards you, man. We had a team out there. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't have a team.
I remember it might have been your sophomore year. You had all the hype with the Heisman hype. Obviously, you know, you, Stafford, all y'all boys, y'all were, you know, number one. Everybody saying, hey, this is going to be the year. Talk about that year, man, and talk about some of the experiences that you had while you were there, the ones that, you know, really stick out for you that were memorable for you while your time in Athens.
Man, dang, that's tough. Because we had so many good – I mean, even my redshirt year, I mean, I had great memories. You know what I mean? Like, just competing. You know what I mean? Just straight up competing. I'm not going to play. I'm not about to play on Saturdays or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm about to be on sideline with y'all. But during practice, I just loved competing, right? So I remember – being on the scout team, going against the number one defense, and I'm going ham, and I'm trying to go. Like, hey, they like, yo, chill out. Chill out. I'm like, listen, be mad at the coaches for not putting me in there. Be mad at them. Don't be mad at me. I'm about to come out here and work. So just being out there working, man, and just competing with Keelan. You know what I mean? I remember competing with Keelan back
and forth. Keelan. Oh, man. Keelan. I haven't seen Keelan in a while.
I know.
I don't know who was more high strung, Keelan or, you know, I mean, Keelan.
Bro,
you Keelan. Think Keelan was on some stuff, boy.
So just competing with him.
That's my dog, though.
Yeah, for sure. That's my dog, for sure. I mean, not even on the offensive defense, competing with him on special teams and on scout team, you know, I mean, punt return and stuff like that, just competing. So those memories, you know, I mean, I definitely stick with me. And then, I mean, of course I'll run that one year, you know what I mean, just making that run, losing a couple games early, right? But then, I mean, coming out, going out to Florida, we didn't win. We had been won in Florida for a couple of years before then, you know, going in there and just even a week before leading into that game, just where Coach Rick is like, just letting it all go. Like Coach Rick, like, listen, if y'all don't get a penalty this week during Florida, Georgia, we all running. We running for the rest of the season, like every single day. You know what I mean? Like, so,
oh,
I mean.
That's the year when everybody ran on doing the touchdown. Yeah.
Literally.
So, yeah, that was the year. So, I mean, that was the year. I guess that was the year before we were, like, number one, right? But, I mean, I remember that, like, vividly, you know what I'm saying? So, just memories like that and going to the Sugar Bowls and playing Hawaii when they were undefeated. I mean, they were supposed to be the next big thing. Them and Colt Brennan?
Colt Brennan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Colt Brennan.
Yeah. 12-0.
Hold on.
What?
Bring it up the Sugar Bowl. Hold on, wait, hold on. Bring it up the Sugar Bowl. I had a birdie tell me, they said, you got to ask NoSean about this. They said that the team had a curfew, and then NoSean had his own curfew.
Nah.
I mean, that's just what people telling me, no? That's what people telling me.
Nah.
You got to explain the two different curfews for me.
I don't know. This is the first time I've heard this. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, Sean was at Pat O'Brien's a couple hours after everybody else.
He was playing piano and singing songs.
I just remember the time we went to New Orleans and played in the Sugar Bowl. Oh. We had a dude lose everything he had, his per diem, got sent home, everything. So we know how New Orleans is.
Dangerous, man.
Now you brought back memories. I do remember some stuff on Bourbon. That was some good stuff. That was fun time, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep.
So I want to hear a young Matthew Stafford story. You guys coming in at the same time. That's like, I guess, safe for – is this an explicit show, Mike?
Look, we can do a little explicit.
No, but y'all had a unique relationship coming in around the same time and everything.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford was just a unique guy, bro. I mean, talented, super talented and smart, right? You know what I mean? And just a fun dude to be around. Man, we had some good times. I'm just sitting here trying to think about some stories, but we just had some good times. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just all of us being together, that whole class. Sean Chappis.
I was going to blame Chappis. I was talking to Chappis today.
Chappis is still around.
Yeah, yep. Chappis hit me up. He was like, "Hey, I heard you getting No-Shawn on tonight." And I said, "Yeah." I imagine you helped with that. And he's like, "Yeah, I might have something."
Only if downtown could talk, you know?
Exactly. But you know what, though? We got banned from downtown.
Yeah.
We got banned.
It's undefeated.
How do you get banned from downtown?
Bush says if anyone's caught downtown, you're running for like the rest of the year. And mm-hmm. they had people out there watching to make sure people weren't down there at the spot. So I don't even know what year that was. That must have been my sophomore, junior. Well, then I ain't even. What am I talking about?
Yeah, you ain't making it to that junior.
I know. Well,
he was out of there. He was out of there. Yeah.
Yeah, one of those. It might have been sophomore or something like that. But yeah, man, I mean, it was just a good group of guys that we had on the team. I mean, you got to think, Rashad Jones, Geno Atkins. I mean, the list goes on and on about the guys that we had in there. It was just a good time, man, a real good time. Yeah.
No, what's some of the probably the best lessons you learned while being in Athens, playing for Coach Rick, being at the University of Georgia? What are some of the things that – you look back now as the older No-Shawn Marino is like, man, I kind of took that for granted. Or, hey, this is something I really remember learning that really helped me become who I am.
That's a tough ass question, man. I mean, I think the biggest thing, it was more just the accountability thing. You know what I mean? Just be accountable. People are going to be, they're going to be not only looking up to you, man, but counting on you to go out there and do what you got to do, right? And then make sure you're doing the things before the game to make sure you're ready for it. So, I mean, I think accountability, man. You're a young guy running the streets in freaking college towns. I mean, of course some things are going to happen, right? But, I mean, I think the main thing was just taught me just being, be accountable, man. Be there, do what you say you're going to do and just go about your business. I mean, and it's always about business. You know what I'm saying? That's what I think the main thing was. And when we went out there, it was like, time to go to work. That was the thing, right? Time to go to work. So that was it. That was our mindset, you know what I'm saying? So I really took that onto the next level with me, for sure, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. So, No-Shawn, there's a GIF that comes up when you search for your name, and it's either you jumping over the dude or it's you in pregame with the Broncos, and you're, like, crying, like, tears are like streaming down your face. What is the story? Have you seen this shot? Have you seen this?
Yeah. It was like the national anthem or something like that.
What is the story? Like what hit you that day that made you like react like that? I've always been curious about it.
It's not, you know, it's so funny though, because I mean, I think I got emotional like that before every game. Wow. Before every single game, I think I got that emotional starting from high school, honestly, really. So even at Georgia, you know what I mean? It's just funny that the camera, you know,
just caught it that day,
you know, and caught a good one that day.
let's be honest here. This just wasn't like a tear. This was like somebody took a garden hose. And like, just got, I mean, it was excessive.
Tears. He was leaking hard.
He needed an IV in the first half because he was losing so many fluids.
Yeah, like I said, they caught a good one that day. You know,
that
what
is
mean?
So funny.
But at the same time, I mean, and first of all, another thing, everything looks good in slow motion too. You slow that down.
That's true.
With Dave Chappelle, Chappelle did the skit.
Yes, the slow motion.
No slow motion skit.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Nah, but yeah, man, it's just you know, before the game, just it's almost like no one's out there. You know what I mean? You just kind of run through your things through your head, and just yeah, I took that time just to clear my head, just to say a little prayer, and let it go. You know, that's just letting it all go and being ready to go out there to battle, man. Go out there to compete and letting it all hang out pretty much, you know? So that's, it's funny though, but that was every game. It was pretty much every single game like that, man.
That's right. And if you're going to have a crying meme on the internet, that's much better to have the happy Jordan crying meme than the Jordan crying meme.
Hey, no, we talked about you playing obviously with Stafford, obviously super talented dude still, playing in the league today, you know, new gig now in LA. A lot of people saying the Rams going to be up there, but obviously playing with Peyton. Not many people can say they shared a backfield with that dude and what he was about. Kind of take us through what that dude is like, preparing for a game, in game. Like, you know, we can hear all the stuff about him we don't, but what's that dude like?
A walking playbook for sure, right? I mean, for real, it's amazing how much he knows about the game. He knew about the game and how he can break it down, right? But besides all that, man, Peyton is hilarious. He's a funny dude, man. I mean, you could kind of see it with the what is that? Peyton Places.
Yeah.
You could kind of see his personality come out there, right? But that's how he really was in the locker room. When we, you know, when it wasn't about business, when it wasn't time to work, I mean, he was like that, man. So I really enjoyed that side of him, being able to just be loose in there. And then when it's time to work, we get to work. But man, Peyton, he was so smart, man. I mean, and I loved that challenge when you're out there with him, you got to know the wide receivers positions, what they're doing. You got to know how the line's blocking. You got to know if he's about to change this play and switch this Mike linebacker. Okay. Now it's all changed. Change everything, right?
Up, yeah.
So I took that as a challenge, and I love that challenge of being able to be like, all right, I'm on the same page as Peyton Manning right here. You know what I'm saying? He makes a change. I know exactly what he's talking about. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I love that about him. And that was special. We had a special little team too, man. I wish I was out there with them boys on the second Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? But Peyton was a good dude, man. Really good guy, man. So, I mean, you can't say enough about him, really, honestly. But I mean, I almost had the chance to play with Brady, so that would have been kind of crazy to see the difference between them and the similarities between the two. You know, but I went to Miami instead.
I mean, you talk about that, you say that, and the situations there are a little bit similar, where you got a guy with just impeccable credentials, and he changes up teams kind of later in his career and ends up being successful. But talk a little bit about how important, obviously everybody knows the quarterback position is important, but how much can a spark like somebody like, oh, look at you. Well, almost all quarterback positions are important. But talk a little bit about the spark that a guy like Peyton Manning, or in Tampa Bay's case, a guy like Brady, brings to a good team and makes them great.
Exactly. I mean, it just makes a big difference. Bro, we had some good quarterbacks. We had some decent quarterbacks. But I mean, but when you have a guy like that has been seeing it for so long, right, and spends all that time in the study room looking at film and things like that, it just makes it so much easier out there. It's wild how much easier, especially if you're on the same page. If you don't know what you're doing, it's going to be hard, right? And you got to be in your playbook as well. But I mean, if you're in your playbook, man, it's so easy out there. It's like stealing candy, honestly. So it was so awesome seeing that, right? Because I mean, we went from Kyle Orton, right? Good quarterback. I mean, he was later in his career as well, right? Boom. Then you had Tim Tebow, young cat coming in here. He about to get it in. Different, right? Running, more runner. But, you know, he was a competitor.
Yeah.
So then you go from those two kind of quarterbacks, right? And then you come then you get Manning, right? So you're like, damn, this is totally different than the last couple of guys we had in here, right? So it was just awesome to see that transformation in our offense. Because, I mean, we kept some things similar from what we had, right? But then he kind of brought in his playbook, too, that he's been running for all the years. I think that's what those guys do. I mean, they've been doing it for so long. They know what works. And they remember those things. They got a playbook. They write them things down, too. So
yeah.
You see Brady go from one team to another. I mean, those plays probably look similar to the Patriots as well. Everyone kind of runs the same thing in the league. So, I mean, it's just crazy how big of a difference a quarterback can make, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. We've seen, like, because it used to be Brady versus Manning, you know, and now it's like people are trying to say it's Brady versus Mahomes. And it's just the fact that Brady can continue to be a part of those conversations at different eras in the NFL just blows my mind.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's still wild. I mean, the man still got to go out there and work. He still got to make sure his body is good, right? He's still going to be getting hit. So it's like, bro, just be out there that old. I mean, I think I can get out there right now. But, yo, if I get hit pretty good, I'm like, all right, let me see here. Hold on for a second.
Well, they call that a business decision, right? I'm gonna make a business decision right now, and I'm gonna stop playing
real quick. So I mean, and he got the quarterback position. I mean, it could get brutal, but I mean, the guys work. The guys going out there and competing, so it works.
No, let me ask you about this, man. Obviously, we talked about quarterbacks being essential to any team, and it's been like that for years at Georgia. Obviously, the quarterback position means a lot, but you go back to freaking Herschel, to Garrison, to Todd, to Musa, to TB. I mean, the lineage of running backs that came through Georgia is unbelievable. Wow. I would love for you to talk about the guys that are there now, what you think of guys like Zamir and Kendall, all those guys like that, comparable to, like, you know, what's it like to be the guy at Georgia playing the running back position?
Yeah, it's wild because, I mean, I didn't watch too much. I watched a little bit of the league ball in high school, right? But I didn't watch too much college. So, I mean, I didn't really know the history too much, you know what I'm saying, per se, with the running backs at Georgia, besides Herschel, you know Herschel. Everyone know Herschel. Yeah. I mean, you walk into the facility, there's a big picture of Herschel. You're like, oh, okay, that's Herschel. Yeah. So you know who Herschel is. You don't really know the history before that, right? And it's crazy that, you know, all the backs that go there. I mean, even like I said, even when I was there, TB was running crazy. All them boys were still running great. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's wild. It's wild how many backs are out there. I mean, we just have the right system. You know what I mean? Right system out there for the backs.
What do you think about the guys that got there now? Like Zamir, you had a chance to check them out and see what the potential's like?
No, I didn't get to check the new cats. I didn't really get to check them out right now. I didn't really get to check them, but I mean, this year
there's a lot of them. Kirby wants to have like six of them. Like it used to seem like a lot to have three guys, you know, and like, oh, they've got a three-headed monster. And now
it's like a hockey team. We got like line changes going in and out.
Just putting them. It's a rotation.
Kirby's out there trying to build that dynasty. You know, they're trying to build that dynasty out there. You can't hate on it. You know what I'm saying?
trying to maintain that identity of like RBU while you're also clearly trying to open up some of the spread pass, like,
right,
that's a tough task. But I think Georgia's, if any school's cut out to do it, it's probably Georgia.
Yeah, we'll be straight. I mean, we ran the spread too with Stafford. I mean, we did get in the I-4 a little bit though, because we had them big boys like Chap and Sullivan. So we had to show them some love and get them up in there. But I mean, we spread it out. Not as much of them boys now though. You're right. I mean,
yeah,
they dang sure they shotgun almost every other play. That's for real.
Hey, no, I want to ask you about overcoming some stuff, because obviously as an athlete, everybody looks at the career and say, oh, I remember this big run. I remember him playing in this game. But you had a couple ACLs. You had a couple injuries throughout your career. How are you able to mentally get over those, you know, tough times in your career?
Man, really, honestly, just having the good people around me, you know what I mean, having family and friends that, you know, that always support me and things like that. And knowing that it's just a part of the game, you know, not knowing that, I mean, of course, we can't play this thing forever, right? But at the same time, I mean, everything I always believe that everything happens for a reason. You know what I'm saying? So I never got down. I mean, it's just a part of our game. You know what I mean? God got me. You know what I'm saying? So whatever, I always thought, you know, whatever the situation is, it is. So just come back as strong as I can and then just keep on moving forward. I mean, even though I did have those injuries, and you know, for the first one anyway, I came back from that. And then the second one, well, the second one was really my elbow. Dislocated my elbow with the Dolphins. That was crazy. I thought I broke my Jones. I was like, yeah, I think I broke my elbow. But nah. So that one, I mean, that was a quick one. But then the second ACL, that was kind of tough too when going through that, because then I had a little complications with the surgery because my body rejected the graft, because we did a graft the second one. So I had to go through that process of rehabbing before the surgery, getting the surgery, then it not working out, taking it out, have to go through rehab again.
Dang.
And then do it all over again. But, you know, it was a part of the process. It happened for a reason. I was out there in Florida. I decided to get my MBA in business, so I was able to do that while I was rehabbing. So, I mean, that was a plus, and I met some great people during that whole process in that program. So, that, you know, it was what it was, but, you know, it is what it is, and it was what it was, but I came back pretty strong. I mean, my leg feels pretty good now, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going out there, though. I'm cool on that.
Yeah, not getting on the trampoline. All right, yeah. No, Sean, before we wrap up, you obviously have a pretty storied part of the Georgia-Florida rivalry. End of October every year, leaves start to change, Halloween. Around that time of year, do you find yourself enjoying candy corn as a trick or a treat?
Is this a trick question?
No, Sean, do you like candy corn?
Nah, candy.
There you go. There you go. That's my dog. That's my dog right there. Look at their face. They so distraught right now.
Wait, hold on.
No. Yeah, they distraught. He said, I gotta leave. I gotta come back. Why y'all hurt? Don't be hurt. Don't be hurt.
Candy corn. I was like, bro, what?
Hey, look, these boys like candy corn. I've been
talking about
the worst candy ever, and they've been getting crushed by every guest on here.
Not every guest, DJ.
Not every guest. That's not true.
That is hyperbole, my man.
We'd have had like 20 episodes and like two people don't like candy corn. Come on.
Just two?
Anyways.
That's it. No, anyways. Everybody else like you and me. We don't do candy corn.
Has anyone in history ever talked as much gas about candy corn as DJ's doing?
You started this, Shock. This is on you, man. No, Sean Moreno. Thank you for your time, man. Great stories, and great to catch up with you. And if you're a dog, try and follow No, Sean. And if you're in Denver,
yeah,
help him. Let him help you get a house. What are you doing? What are you waiting on?
Yeah, noproperties.com. There you go. Man, hit me up with an email for sure.
I should have hit up TK to get some stories off you. That's what I should
have. I was just talking to him. I thought we're going to have him on at some point.
Man. I should have hit
need TK to.
Oh, yeah. We definitely need to have TK on.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a, you know, I mean, you can probably TK. Do a duo, Jones. I'll come back on. He's hilarious, man.
He is good.
Yeah, I appreciate good. You guys, man, for having me.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you, bro.
Thanks, Sean. Yes. Y'all have a great week. Catch you next time.
All right, now.